But Sam, you and I don't know at what point it became our identity here on Running the Option, but you and I love to kick coaches when they're down. And we had our segment a couple weeks back on Hot Seat Coaches. One of the guys that wasn't featured in that segment, but seat has officially gone from warmish to vacant, Mike Stoops.
You know, Mike Stoops, and I want to caution viewers out there that are listening to us, we're not trying to hate on every coach. We just have taken...
Only the bad ones.
Right, we really want to take up the mantle of a lot of coaches. The problem is for Mike Stoops, he's actually had some signature wins at Arizona. I mean, he's had upset bids over Oregon a couple of times. I remember him beating UCLA a few years ago when they were actually ranked in the top 10. That's how long he's been at Arizona.
I think this is really kind of you that you're starting this off with some positive vibes.
Let's
do that. Absolutely. Let's puff him up a little bit first.
You know, but the truth is, Saturday, he had a signature loss. And those sometimes are the ones that you can lose your job over. And that's what happened because a winless Oregon State team that really didn't have a prayer in most of its games was able to somehow rally its offense and defense enough to stop an Arizona offense that I still have respect for despite this putrid start to the season.
There's no way you can't, Nick Foles. I mean, Arizona is 117th in the country in scoring against, at 37.5 points per game against, which for a BCS school is just inexcusable. But you look at their schedule, and it's Oklahoma State, and it's Stanford, and it's Oregon, and it's USC, and you say, okay, it's a murderer's row of good offenses. Maybe we should give them a break here. Oregon State is 0-4. Their quarterback has 2 touchdowns and 5 interceptions on the year. They don't have a running game to speak of. They have Malcolm Agnew, the true freshman. He's injured in week 1. He's not available for the Arizona game. They don't have an offense to speak of.
Yeah.
So all those excuses go out the window. The defense is terrible.
It's amazing to me that a quarterback that's as good as Nick Foles, a first rounder in my opinion for sure, can be on a team that has found a way to fall this far in such a short period of time. And let's back up and give the Mike Stoops resume for a second, because he's in and now has finished in his 7.5 seasons in Arizona with a 41-50 record, 27-38 in conference games. And, you know, he ended a 10-year, a decade bowl drought in 2008 for Arizona. They went to 3 straight bowl games. Technically, that streak is still alive if something amazing happened. And for a moment there, the window was open for Arizona to join that company of USC, Oregon, and Stanford. Maybe not at that level, but right below it when they were at the height of their time in 2007, 2008, 2009. This Arizona program was really starting to roll. And then the wheels fell off this year, and you just have to look at Greg Byrne, the athletic director, and you have to say this probably was the right time, as controversial as it is to fire a coach in the middle of the season. If you're going to do it coming off of a loss like this one, which both of us agree was inexcusable, it shocked us to see that. I think that if you're going to fire him during the season, this is the week to do it.
It was their 10th straight loss against the BCS opponent. But what sucks for Stoops about that, all of those opponents were pretty darn good at the end of last year, and then at the beginning of this year, the only ones that weren't ranked were they lost to USC at the end of last year, and this year, of course. And then that ASU double overtime thriller last year that ASU ekes out. All the losses you can make an excuse for, but at some point there can't be an excuse for a competitive program. They have to win one of those games. But you make an excuse for all those losses, and then you get to this Oregon State game, and they have to win this game. I feel like if they just barely won this game, that would have left a sour taste in everybody's mouth. They needed to win this game big for the program to rally anything this season.
Yeah.
And they lose outright? Oh my goodness.
It's amazing. And now you have to look at the Arizona program and where they go from here. And the problem is, Greg Byrne, the athletic director, has got a difficult situation because Arizona's in the bottom half of Pac-12 schools in terms of what they pay coaches. They're going to pay Mike Stoops about $1.4 million a year, which is fine to attract a mid-tier coach. But if you want a mid- to upper-tier coach, that's not going to cut it. And the truth is, when you look at this search, and I appreciate what Byrne did because what he's trying to do is get on top of the coaching search early.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to fire Stoops now so that he can get ahead of what's going to be maybe a crowded field come season's end.
I love the firing, there's no way he's going to be your coach over the next 2 or 3 years. So like you said, this was the right time to do it.
So what are the realistic candidates for this Arizona program? This is not their basketball program. They pay coaches well. Sean Miller's doing great there. I'm sure they'll be in the Final Four soon. But for the football program, the names that I've heard surfacing, let's start with the unrealistic ones. I hate to say it, Wildcat fans, but Chris Peterson and Gary Patterson are not realistic options right now. Chris Peterson was in talks to be the coach at UCLA. I heard his name rumored for Stanford. If he's not going to take those jobs that pay, the Stanford job pays substantially more. The UCLA job is a more prestigious job. If he's not going to take those jobs, I don't see him taking the Arizona job.
And not even looking at it from a money perspective, it's hard to say this because Arizona, obviously a Pac-12 school, it's not an upgrade for Boise State or TCU.
No, it's not.
Going to Arizona is not an upgrade, so I wouldn't even consider it a better situation. So if either of these guys are going to leave these schools, it's going to be for an improved situation or a big payday. They're not going to get either at Arizona. Yeah.
And you look at Mike Bellotti, he's another name that's come up, obviously familiar with the West Coast. He's a coach and an AD formerly at Oregon. Byrne knows him well, and he's a proven winner. I don't like the fit for him. I think he might return to coaching. I don't think it's going to be here. Mike Leach, to me, is the one name that if you want to get excited as a Wildcat fan, you can start to look his direction. There are a lot of things that fit about it. He popularized the air raid offense in 10 years at Texas Tech. That's a similar fit to what Arizona wants to do. It wouldn't be a controversial hire because the fan base in Arizona is more relaxed towards a hire like that. And besides, Mike Leach, really, we've talked about, he needs to clear his name. We think it's unjust, a lot of what's happened to him. I think Mike Leach wouldn't be huge on the money being an issue because he's just looking to get back into coaching. This could be the right job for him to come into if he wants it now.
And it's the right fit for Arizona to get their program back on track and back to a point where they can be competitive in the Pac-12 South, which I think it's going to be fairly easy to be competitive in the South because USC is going to pick things back up. ASU looking good. UCLA is a long way away. Colorado is a long way away. So it's going to be a competitive side to the Pac-12. Utah, of course, has a little time to go. I would love that hire for Arizona. And in fact, that's the hire that I think UCLA should make.
Right.
Of course, now Neuheisel might be saving his job here with a couple of these wins. I don't really know. I still have him on the hot seat, but that would speak to what you were just saying about getting ahead of this coaching search. If they make a hire like Mike Leach, that's strictly because they had the bravery to fire their coach midseason. So that would be a big hire. But it's really, as far as looking down the list of these guys, it's really the only hire that I could get excited about for Arizona. Any other guy, like you said, it's just going to be a middle-tier guy that's going to maybe get you back into or keep you at this going to a bowl every season level, but it's not going to get you to that competitive level.
The diehard fan base knows a name like Sonny Dykes, who was the offensive coordinator, really was the guy that orchestrated the Arizona rise in terms of offense over the last 5 years. But the problem is he left to go to Louisiana Tech as the head coach. Uncertain whether that would be a big enough splash to make an impact in the South, but that's another name that some Wildcats fans have thrown around.
So let's get into another guy that was shown the door this week, Steven Garcia. For whatever reason, South Carolina has found a way into our show every week, and obviously we're not going to ignore a move this big, but once again, we have to talk about South Carolina, and namely the guy that's prevented them, arguably, from being the team they could possibly be.
I will take responsibility for the South Carolina binge that we've been on because I admittedly was very high on them to begin the season.
But I was right there with you. I can't make you take the fall on this alone.
I mean, we both saw what they had. We saw that Spurrier's been building this team for a while. He has had the recruiting classes in place for a season like this where you have a tailback like Lattimore, you have Jadeveon Clowney, the most electrifying freshman in the country at defensive
end. Lived up
to the hype. You have Alshon Jeffery on the outside. The pieces were in place. No one can say that they weren't. The problem is when you get quarterback play that is this bad, it's not about SEC quarterback play like we talked about, but when you're hurting your team by turning it over every game.
Right, we're not talking about a need for being spectacular. We're talking about a need for not turning the ball over and making terrible decisions on third downs when your team needs a short pass. Abysmal.
And that was on the field.
How does head ball coach have a blind spot at quarterback? We're talking about building this team up, which he has, and this looked like the year that they could make their move. How is the blind spot at quarterback?
I mean, the obvious answer for me, I have no idea how his kind of philosophy on quarterback play has gotten to this point where you're talking about a guy in Steven Garcia that Steve Spurrier wanted from the very start. He was a very hyped recruit. Spurrier brought him in, gave him every opportunity you can possibly give a kid.
He gave him a second, third, fourth, and fifth chance.
I mean, five suspensions now, and it's finally time to cut him. Here's the thing about Steven Garcia that's so enigmatic to me. He's one of three quarterbacks in the history of South Carolina that throw for over 7,500 yards. His record isn't great, but he was 20 and 14 as a starter. His finest hour came not long ago, just last season, when they beat number one ranked Alabama 35-21, and he looked great in that game. That was one of his truly on games. But when you look at his overall career, that proverbial corner that you talk about a guy needing to turn, he just never turned it. He flashed it to you, but he never turned it. And Spurrier flirted with it the whole time. We're going to put him back in. We're going to give him another shot. How many times can a guy let you down? Apparently it's five before you're finally ready to let him go. It's just terrible timing for a program that had everything else in place to win this year.
We've talked a lot about the stubbornness of head coaches.
Yeah.
And maybe it is the fact that Spurrier felt like he needed a great quarterback, because if Garcia had turned that corner, he did show flashes, but even at his best, he was a feast or famine type of guy. And when he was on, he was a great quarterback, one of the best in the SEC, you could argue. Mm-hmm. Maybe Spurrier felt that he had to have that type of guy. He had to have a signature quarterback, because with the way this team is built, with arguably the best running back in the country in Marcus Lattimore, and with this incredible turnover-forcing defense, all they needed was a game manager at quarterback. And maybe it was stubbornness and trying to fit a guy in and make him the center of attention, as opposed to just letting this team be what it could be. Maybe that was the issue.
Yeah. And if you're a South Carolina fan, you better hope Connor Shaw doesn't go down. I'm not saying Connor Shaw's even the answer every week, but he's going to have to be, because if you look after him on that depth chart, there is not a player on that roster that has played a down at quarterback for South Carolina. If Connor Shaw goes down, every hope and dream that this team had, and they were plentiful, are going to die.
Georgia is starting to come around. We talked a little bit about that as a possibility when we were talking about Rick's hot seat. They could still take the SEC East. Florida's put themselves in a bit of a hole, but that's going to be a big game when that comes up. Connor Shaw needs to stay healthy, and he needs to do the things that Garcia wasn't doing and play smart football. There's a reason he lost the job in the first place. He was starting against East Carolina. He was terrible. Yeah. It's been a disastrous situation.
Last week was only Kentucky, but at least they started to move in the right direction. You have to hope it continues.